Today, many of you are here out of either dread or curiosity, if you know what lays ahead in this Romans chapter. And I want to try to put some of those fears to rest, but I also know that as a speaker, it's easy to be misheard. And I've been praying that that doesn't happen. I've been praying that there's no hang-ups. I'm praying that there's no misunderstanding of anything that is being said today. So that's what I come to you with. We're going to be tackling Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32. We're going to finish out Romans 1. And the subject matter, if you know anything about Romans, is where homosexuality is put on blast, scripturally. Okay? I'm just going to say it. We're just going to put it out there. Elephant in the room. I'm going to read the quote that I read last week about from Packer. For those of you that were here last week, you'll remember it. And then we're going to kick it off. You ready? Okay. God, may no misunderstanding be heard here today. Packer says this. Think of what you know of God through the gospel and apply it. Think against your feelings. Argue yourself out of the gloom they have spread. Unmask the unbelief they have nourished. Take yourself in hand. Talk to yourself. Make yourself look up from your problems to God of the gospel. Let evangelical thinking correct emotional thinking. By this means, so Paul the apostle who wrote Romans, so Paul believes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, whose ministry it is to assure us that we are God's beloved children and heirs, will lead us to the point where Paul's last triumphant inference, I am convinced that neither life nor death nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, that is Christ Jesus, our Lord. It will invoke from us the response, and so am I, hallelujah. For in this response, as Paul knows, lies the secret to the more than conqueror's experience, which is the victory that overcomes the world and the Christian's heaven on earth. We're going to do this like ripping off a Band-Aid, and we're just going to read Romans 1, 18 through 31. Can we do that? If you need a Bible, I want to give you a Bible. We want to give you a Bible. Whitewater wants to give you a Bible. There are many Bibles out on that table. You may have missed them because you saw fruit and donuts. That's understandable. If I need to turn to the side and show you again, So, if you need a Bible, get a Bible. There are Bible apps for your phone, for your iPad, for your tablet, whatever you got going on. There are apps that you can download for free. I want you following along. I want you reading along Romans with me. So when we get to these things, there's no big surprise. When we get to these things, there can be actual dialogue happening. When you get to these things, your curiosity is so piqued by what God has to say that you want to talk about it with someone. That's why we need to read this stuff together as a community, okay? Is that understood? Okay. Romans 1:18 through 31. I'm reading out of the New International Version. It says this, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and the wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to their shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed for lust for other men, for one another, excuse me. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice them. And that finishes out chapter 1 of Romans. Here's what we have to do. We have to wrestle with who God says He is through Scripture. And when passages come like this through Scripture that don't jive with the way we feel, or don't jive with the way we live, or don't jive with the way we operate, we have to ask this question. God, what do you mean by this? I don't like it. God, what do you mean by this? I can't live like that. God, why? Why would this even be in Scripture? Why would this even be in your Word? Why is this anything? Why is this a big deal? It's not a big deal to me. I read through this over and over and over. And what happened for me was this passage never became about homosexuality exclusively at all. And if you read it like that, you're wrong. Catch me outside, how about that? If you read only exclusively that that's what this means, you are way off base. If you use this as weapons, if you use this as ammunition, you are way off base, my friends. What happened to me is I read this over and 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 over in my office. And I got to this point where I could unpack Greek, I could unpack Hebrew, I could unpack whatever you need me to unpack. And it never came to that place in my heart. It never came to that place, and this is how you need to teach this. What came to my place is, what came to my heart is heartbreak. I've told several people, I have not been allowed to cry over this. Even though several times in my office I felt like weeping and I said, it's going to suck because God's going to do it here on this stage. In front of you. And you'll know that men actually cry. I came to a place of heartbreak because this isn't about a single issue. This is about you and me. This is about you and me being in wrong being in relationship to God. Why? Because God said so. And as I read through the list, I said, Adam, there you. There you are. Oh, crap, you're on there more than once. And I started to break harder than I ever broke before when I knew that I was in wrong being with God when I was 11 years old, when I was baptized, and I said, I need God. This breaking of me in my office this week was bigger than that. Because I understood it fully, I understood it more. And it's a breaking of my heart, but it's a joy that also comes with that, because God is who He says He is. God is Redeemer of this broken man. Thanks, God, for not allowing me to shed tears in my office. Jesus is Redeemer of this broken man. And I read through the list again and again and again and found myself in more than one. And I said, thank God that I'm the only one here at Whitewater that's on this list and that you all have it figured out. No, that's not what I said. I said, I want to know what Paul says in the rest of his letters. So we go and investigate the rest of his letters. This is what's in this. Can I go with it? In the rest of his letters, Paul puts on blast. This is how you're in wrong being with God, Adam. This is where you've fallen. This is where Whitewater is. This is where Whitewater continues to be in wrong being with me. He says this: adultery, fornication, slander, lying, anger, fury, greed, malice, idolatry, envy, rivalry, treachery, haughtiness, disrespecting of parents. Sons, listen to this. My sons. Faithlessness, theft, drunkenness, hatred, foul language, murder, spite, gossip, insolence, reviling, boastfulness, senselessness, heartlessness, ruthlessness, sorcery, jealousy, dissension, faction, bitterness, ungratefulness, recklessness, and conceit. Do I need to keep going? Have I hit your thing yet? Should I read them again? And I see us as this group, Whitewater, you and me. And I see the things that God say put us in wrong being with Him. And I say, now what? So many of us here at Whitewater have been kicked to the curb by other churches, and I'm not telling you that that was wrong. In most cases, they may have done what was best by them. In most cases, they have done what they only saw fit in order to reconcile you with your sin, in order for you to try to look to God and see this. And we are full of broken people. We are full of people who have been kicked to the curb. My friends, we have a sorceress that has come to Whitewater for a long time and is now experiencing freedom in Jesus. Do you understand that? Santa Claus, who I talked about a few weeks ago, Craig Johnson, my associate, he's good friends with a man who murdered his wife, lied about it, and showed up at church that weekend and acted like, I don't know what's wrong. I can't find her. He murdered her. He knows Jesus now. You understand this? We've got people in this room who suffer from adultery, current and past. But the tendency is we want to point fingers because, well, I'm not that bad. I just lie, people. I'm not that bad. I just disrespect my parents here and there. I love that one's in there, by the way. I wouldn't have as a child. And we point fingers every direction trying to cover up this weird, like I talked about last week, we kind of have this meter of acceptable sin. Yeah? No, I'm not going to answer that. And we somehow plug these things in and we say, it's okay because I'm only doing it for this reason and this purpose. And no, that's not okay. That puts us in wrong being with God, the Creator. Why? Because He said it does. And so here at Whitewater, as I'm broken for my own sin, as I'm broken for your sin, as I'm broken for us being in wrong being with God at any given moment, I see us not pointing fingers at one another. I see us not saying, yours is worse than mine. God, thank God I'm not that guy or gal. I see us looking at each other in the eyes. And I see us understanding that we are people in process moving towards God. And I continue to tell anybody that comes here, because a lot of people want to come to Whitewater and say, if you're in Jesus, what's your views on the Holy Spirit? If you're not in Jesus, usually it's, or sometimes even if you're in Jesus, what's your views of homosexuality? And that's like the entry-level questions that you get. And my standard response is, what God says in Scripture about that is that it puts us in wrong being with Him. I don't doubt that that's going on in your heart. I don't doubt that that's going on in your life. I don't doubt that you've loved this person for 30 years. Deeply. I don't doubt that. But together, you and I have to wrestle with God. And what I find is that the playing field has just been leveled. And we all have to submit to God under what He says and how He says to do it. And so together, as we look each other in the eyes, there's a man named Bill Hybels who I don't really follow all that well. He's not a pastor or an author that I go to. Many of you might know him. But I found this quote that he said, beautiful, you have never looked into the eyes of someone who does not matter to God. You have never looked into the eyes of someone who does not matter to God. Meaning, I look into your eyes and you matter to God. You matter to God. They had their head down. You matter to God. Everybody look at my eyes right now. You matter to God. And if that's the case, and that's the same God and the same Spirit that lives within me, you matter to me. You matter to me. It matters to me that together, us, we, a community, look to God for what He says before what we say. It matters to me that we continue to move two steps closer to Jesus in whatever arena of life, in whatever area of wrong being, in whatever area of joy, that we continue to look to God. God, what do you say? Give us your cue. And we wrestle with that. And we love through that. And we honor one another through that. My friends, anybody and everybody is welcome here at Whitewater. Do you understand that? You won't be shown the door. You will be shown with Jesus, and you will be expected to wrestle with what He says. But you will never be shown the door. Unless it's the entry. We want people to come in. As I kept reading this, the only word that came to my mind was corporate repentance. All of us together looking to God and saying, look, you know what? I'm on this list probably more than once. God, and as we read, we understand that that puts us in wrong being with you. That puts us in a place that isn't where you want us to be. That isn't where you've called us to be. And we want to commit to remedying that. We want to commit to looking to this salvation, this righteousness that covers us through Jesus. We want to look to that. We want to see that. We want to know what puts us in right standing, and we don't want to be here anymore in wrong being with you. Can we do that together? Maybe you feel you've got nothing to say to God today. here to say you're wrong. Yeah. But together I want to do that. I know it's weird. I know it's awkward. It's funny. We sang this song, "We're on our knees, Holy Lord." And I looked around the room and everybody's standing. Maybe that means the knees of your heart. If you are able, I want you to kneel. This might be very Catholic of us. I don't know. Catholic people in the room, Caleb, help me out. Totally fine. The Catholics did not invent kneeling. But where you're at, I would ask if you can and you're physically able to just kneel. And we're just going to spend some time in silence, and we're just going to spend some time in corporate repentance for the things that we know are in wrong being with God. Just spend some time talking with God about where you are in relationship to where He desires you to be. God, there may be things that are read that are hard to hear. There may be things that your apostles have spoken that cut to the heart and hurt right now, God. There may be things that right now we just want to run the other way and pretend we didn't hear them at all. But God, your word is life. Jesus came and paid this massive price for this stuff, God, that we cling to, this stuff that we operate in, this stuff that we deem acceptable, this stuff that we have fooled ourselves in our thinking, God. And it's stuff that challenges you and where you're at and what you desire from us. God, it's things that put us in wrong being with you. And at times it can be confusing, at times it can not make sense, but in those times, may we look at you. May we look to you for why. Why would you say this, Lord? Why would you say this? Why would you... May we wrestle together. May we not be afraid to challenge you. God, you're a big God. There's nothing that you can't handle. May we not be afraid to ask dangerous questions. May we not be afraid to ask questions that we don't understand. May we come to you, though, and not anybody else. God, together we repent. As white water. As people who are new here, first time, God, we repent. We ask for your forgiveness for this wrong being. God, we speak out wanting understanding. We speak out wanting spiritual guidance. We speak out, we cry out, God, for these things. Father, we are important to you. Therefore, we are important to each other, those who claim Jesus. We are important to each other. We are accountable to one another. God, I pray that this room right now, who's operated out of anything but love for people, as they look them in the eye, as they point fingers at any kind of sin or wrong being with you, God, and they're not looking at themselves and they're not looking inward and saying, God, where am I wrong? Where am I not in right being with you? God, forgive us. God, for those that have read your truth and have done something completely different and opposite, forgive us. For those of us that claim the righteousness that Jesus gave us and live something different, forgive us. God, wreck our hearts for the things that wreck yours. Speak truth and life into our spirits now. God, I thank you for the grace, and I thank you for the mercy, and I thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus that makes it possible for us to do any of this today, that makes it possible for us to talk to you like this, that makes it possible for us to be in right being with you, be covered by this blood of Jesus. God, I thank you for the grace that is extended to me every day, to us, every day, because of that sacrifice of your Son on the cross. God, I ask that you heal us. God, I ask that we look to you when it comes to adultery, fornication, slander, lying, anger, fury, greed, malice, idolatry, envy, rivalry, treachery, haughtiness, disrespecting of parents. God, heal us of these things, faithfulness, theft, drunkenness, hatred, foul language. God, heal us of these things, murder, spite, gossip, insolence, reviling, boastfulness, senselessness. God, heal us from these things, heartlessness, ruthlessness, sorcery, jealousy, dissension, faction, bitterness, ungratefulness, recklessness, conceit. God, we repent of these things. And we look to you for how we operate from here on out. As your Son Jesus has called us to live, as these apostles have called us to live. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. I do want to speak that if there's been any misunderstanding or any mishearing of what has been said today, or any anger that has risen up, or any sadness or heartbreak, or any questions you have at all, catch me outside. How about that? Not in a fighting way, but in a way that we want to dialogue with you, in a way that we want to speak with you, in a way that we want you to not walk away here misunderstanding the grace of Jesus. Not misunderstanding that our sin puts us in wrong being with God. We want to be there. We want to look you in the eye because you matter to us. We want you to look us in the eye because I pray that we matter to you the same way.